T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And we are back with Beach & Company. I'm Sandy Beach. Ken Hamilton is with us. Here's some of the texts that we had in the last few minutes. It would be so funny to listen to talk with female hosts critiquing the attractiveness of male politicians. Well, we did have Brenda Lacey, who is married to Eye Candy Dan. And so we had her on earlier as part of that.
Well, hold on. Let me respond to that.
Okay.
Come on, be serious, lady. You know, why did people vote for Kennedy over Nixon?
Attractiveness. Kennedy was hot and Nixon was sweating.
Why? Yeah, he was too, wasn't he? Why do you think that they chose Clinton over Bush?
Oh, well, it's do not do this. Come on, we got an hour before the FCC comes in and whips our license off the wall.
Over George Bush.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Ken. Thank you for your introduction.
And now watch this. And why do you think these women voted for it? You know, that truly dark and tall and handsome.
Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing.
Jungle fever inciting.
Well, he's a good looking guy, and he could say he was a good speaker. And when you're on the stump and you're politicizing, asking for votes, those are two good things to have.
And that's right. And what do women like? They like the way that, I mean, they're communicative.
Yeah.
You know, guys, women go by what they hear. Men go by
what
they see.
Brenda here, I asked her to name two of the hottest politicians that we have. And she said Mayor Brown, which I can understand because he always looks good. He doesn't look like he just fell out of bed. He has nice clothing. He doesn't do much for me personally, or politically.
And Michelle irons his pajamas.
That's
right?
A very nice thing to do. Here, Ken was a. This is what it says. Ken was a Navy guy. Being out to sea that long, he would be with anything that passes with a pulse and a mirror test. And here's one. Here's a challenge. What the heck, guys? Would you all like us to rate you now? Because we will. You know, women don't like to be rated, and we don't use them as objects. We're just saying, I just said attractive. I didn't even use the word hot. I said I thought Kirsten Gillibrand was attractive. Now, for those of you who might have a problem with that, I'd like to ask you a question. Do you know how many trillions of dollars is spent on cosmetics and clothing and going to see your local doctor, maybe a new nose, surgery, that kind of stuff? Is all of that to just impress other women, or is that for maybe getting a thumbs up from somebody who would see you on the street? A thumbs up, very attractive. Nothing wrong with that. And you obviously do all the prep work for us to give you a thumbs up.
Absolutely.
No, it doesn't mean that that's all we think about with you. We ask the same about us. We don't want to be objects of your affection.
That's
I know many of you are home now going, I wonder what Beamer looks like. Gee, that Ken Hamilton. I wish I was dating Ken. We could pretend he was a sailor on leave in San Diego. And that Caligiuri, those Italian stallions. I'd like to check out the meatballs he puts in the pot. So, I mean, we all have those kind of opportunities to be polite. I didn't say she was a dog. If I said she was a dog, I'd be out of line.
Yeah, there you go. Right.
I said she was attractive. Yeah, I even used a nice word.
You said attractive, but I said she was hot.
Yeah, and hot would be the word most of them use. Who had his hand up first? You did.
Go ahead, Joe.
I just want to say to that texter, go ahead and rate me. Believe me, there's nothing I haven't heard.
Oh, that's true. You are pretty good. You got a good sense of humor about that. Tony.
Yeah, ladies, Beamers, You know, I mean, like once when I was on a long vacation, when I came back to the studio, I put a mirror up to his nose.
You know what, Hamilton? Nobody that I work with draws a crowd in the lobby like you do. People like to talk to you. You've got an engaging personality. You're a former Navy guy. You got a lot of things going for you.
Well, it's just, I just like people, and I like to enjoy conversation.
Pardon me. Hold on just a second. He likes people. Ah! He's already running for something. Go ahead, Tony.
I post pictures of myself on Facebook, and I am often made fun of. I think a lot of people feel, well, you know, you're in the public spotlight, so you're open target to be made fun of. And the one joke I constantly hear is, you have a face for radio. So,
well, I hear that too.
We're criticized all the time.
Yeah, I have a face for radio, and it's been there for a long time.
And most of the people that tell me that, their face is only good for watching the radio.
All right, let's see. We've got a lot of calls. Let's go to Dan in West Seneca. Dan, you're on WBEN.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning. Hello, Dan. What do you got today?
Well, I guess I'm going to talk a little bit about Mario Cuomo and the marijuana legalization and the sports gaming.
Okay.
Because what I'm hearing is he's just kind of put half of his foot in the water. It appears to me that he's trying to appeal to everyone, and on this issue...
Hey, Dan, before you go any further, that would be Andrew Cuomo. Mario had nothing to do with marijuana.
You're correct. I'm
either that or he had a really bad reaction.
Oh, man, one pill, Sandy. Don't take two anymore.
That's it, guys. Really, I think if we are going to do it, if you're going to pass a law, if you're going to have that type of legislation, to use a gaming phrase, I think you should be all in. And I think that maybe with the stipulation, we're going to do it. We're going to do it right, the way that Las Vegas does it. And we're going to do it for a period of a year, and then we're going to reevaluate. So if we're going to allow sports gaming, I'd like to see it in the OTBs. It certainly would employ people. I'd like to see it in the casinos. I'd like to see it full-blown. If we're going to legalize marijuana, I'd like them to legalize marijuana.
Should you be able to grow it yourself, Dan?
With a permit. I think that it is a revenue raiser. I think that's why the issue's on the table.
Sure.
So if you're going to legalize it, that implies that it's legal for everyone. So because it is an intoxicating device, then you should have to have a permit, and there should be some type of monitoring system.
Well, you don't have any of that for homemade beer or homemade wine. And do you think that, given the fact that the people who are going to be most apt to growing their own would be the criminal element, who also ignore the gun laws?
Well, I think what you just said is very smart, and I think it's spot on. But we're entering into... people are going to drive around when they're high. They are yep. around when they're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing that concerns me is the ability to know if a policeman pulls you over. Now, they're saying within a year, they project they will have a device that'll be like a breathalyzer, but they don't have it now, and I worry about that.
Yeah, let's wait until the breathalyzer works and then consider what we're going to go with that.
Well, I think if money is the engine that's pushing this type of legislation, I think that you might want to just do it and then weigh the consequences. In other words, open it up for a year, advertise the bejeebers out of it, and then analyze the data at the end of that year and either continue or not based on real.
Yeah, put a sunset date on there, and you're right. See how it works out for the people doing it. See how it works out for the people using it. And then either new, fresh, or updated legislation.
Have we ever done that for anything else that we passed?
I don't know. Have we?
No.
Okay, the answer is no.
No.
He asked the question he knew the answer to. That's why I asked him. All right, thank you, Dan. Thank you very much.
Good call, Dan.
That's a sensible approach.
It really would, but you know we don't do sensible approaches.
Not in New York State.
Absolutely.
I said the dam would open the first day the legislature meets because it's all Democratic.
Oh, now. Absolutely.
There's nothing
They're
to
like
stop.
Kids
it.
In a candy store.
It's like water coming over the dam. There's no way to stop this. And it's sad, and it worries me. We'll be back with more of Beach & Company with three very attractive men here on News Radio 930 WBEN.
62 counties.
Just want to make this clear. You're saying you will not get out of the race, and you will not run for president. You will serve your 6 years.
I will serve my six-year term.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. It was Maggie Johnson, who is the weather person, and Kirsten Gillibrand, who is the politician. That's why I called her Kirsten Johnson. And unless they get married, she's always going to be Kirsten Gillibrand. But if she got married to Maggie Johnson, she might pick up a few more votes.
And you can in New York.
Absolutely. I'm proud of it. Let's go to Sam in Williamsville. Sam, you're on WBEN. Hi, Sam. Hello, Sam. Hello, Sam. Hey, Sammy boy.
Sammy, you're not smoking any weed right now, are
you? I think Sammy has already got a head start on that. There we go. Goodbye. Yes, and we're talking about sports betting, too. If you've not been to Vegas and are not familiar with sports books, they have a separate room, and it's usually a gigundous room. And it's very very much in the moment for betting on almost any sport you can think of. They're up on the board. And then you go to a window like you would any kind of a betting window, you make your bet. Some of the tickets can, if you have any winning tickets, can be cashed immediately if it's for a game or an event that's going on. You're going to be there for the end of it. Others often wait. It's like you can do an advanced bet on who's going to win the Super Bowl for next year already. You can just step right up. Tony, you were in Vegas for a while. And the sports books are very popular.
There was times I would go just to watch sports, you know.
Yeah, it's very.
They didn't have all the channels back then.
There are refreshments there, and you see, especially if you like things you're not going to see on TV, like horse racing. They have all the tracks there. All the tracks are there. The different locations for the games of the day, weather for the different locations for whatever team you're looking at. It's a lot of fun, actually.
I remember watching Jim Kelly's first game in a Bills uniform in a sports book in Las Vegas. And that's cool. And you're standing around, you know, there's other, obviously people are betting on the games, but you're able to just sit around, talk football, hockey, whatever it is that you're watching with other people.
I was in Vegas on a day where the Bills were playing a game, okay? And I just for fun bet $10 on the Bills. I lost.
So did they, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I would like to tell you that I won, but I did not.
In August, I put $50 on the Bills winning the Super Bowl. I will not be receiving that when I go in April.
Checks in the mail.
Yeah. The best weekend I had in Vegas was the first round of the NCAAs because that's the sports book are packed.
Oh, sure.
I mean, there's a ton of action in Las Vegas. It was a lot of fun. That and the last week or the week before the NCAAs, when conference tournament, when I was there a few years ago, three conferences had their tournaments in Las Vegas. So that was a fun weekend.
You know, it's a big deal, too, if you're in Vegas, especially if it's happening in Vegas, fights.
I was just going to bring that up.
Fights are huge. And oftentimes, some of the fighters might set up a ring to train right in front of everybody. You get to watch them train, and you're pretty impressed by it. And then you go and make your bets. So there's a lot. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm listening to you.
Oh, yeah. It's
ladies, I'm the kind of guy who looks at people
I've never had a man look at me like that while I'm working.
I was a sailor.
What time do I get done, boys? Noon? No, I don't need a drink, thank you.
How I got to see so many fighters was because of the fights when they would come in. And, you know, I worked at the Hilton, so some would either stay there or they're eating there.
That's
and
cool.
It was a big deal. Even, what was it, the Sugar Ray Leonard Hagler fight. And that was in the, I forgot where what casino was in. But we also watched it in a huge room on closed circuit TV. It was amazing.
Yeah, the MGM Grand used to have a lot of fights. I don't know if they still do. But the point is, it's fun. It's exciting, especially if it's a heavyweight fight.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, with now with the new T-Mobile Arena, you're getting even bigger fights. You know, obviously the big fights would be in Vegas, but now you can have an 18,000-seat arena full of people for a fight. MGM still does get some fights, but since the Vegas Knights moved in and they put T-Mobile there.
Well, of course, it's exciting being right at the center of the universe, where not only do you have a bet on the fight, but maybe you're going to the fight, and you see it up close and personal. That's the kind of sporting events that can't be replicated on television. No matter how big a screen you have, no matter how good your sound system is, being there and betting on it and being there is nothing like it.
A lot of the big fights were also in the parking lot of the Las Vegas Hilton. In fact, we would have to park elsewhere as employees.
You mean it was designed to be in the parking lot?
They
not
were,
just
they
people
were
in the parking lot.
No, the ring.
Said, hey,
the whole
that's my spot. Oh, yeah? Boom.
Tony would ask, where's the ring?
This is a better fight than the ring.
Well, I've never been to Vegas, and I have never bet a nickel on a sport in my life.
You haven't?
Never.
He's a virgin.
I'm a virgin.
Ken, what are you doing in April?
That new TV show, The Sports Virgins.
Yeah, there you go.
April. Remember that?
What are you doing in April? I'll take you to Vegas. You can lose your VV, your Vegas virginity.
Yeah, you go with him to Vegas. It'd be fun to travel with him to Vegas.
Yeah.
So you've never been to Vegas?
Never been to Vegas.
Get out, because you're a worldly guy. You've been around. You've done a lot of things.
I know. I've been to all but three or four places in the world where I've ever wanted to go. Vegas was never a place I wanted to go.
Okay. Just remember, it's not legal in Clark County, and that is in Vegas. Just so that you'll know, in case you're thinking about that. I know he likes to visit ranches. I think he's a cowboy at heart.
He wanted to go to the SEMA show.
He says, I'm ready to saddle up. We'll be back with more. Hee-haw. He's doing a hee-haw imitation on News Radio 930. I think. WBN. Oh, I knew it. Isn't it amazing what the human mind can do? You get little bits of information, and if you're not going to use them, they kind of get tucked away in the corner of your brain. You don't think anything about them. Years go by, and then all of a sudden, one day, you're doing a live commercial, and it pops out. You don't even know it. You didn't ask for it. And I knew there was somebody named Kirsten Johnson. Well, Kirsten Johnson was the tall blonde in Third Rock from the Sun. And the reason I knew her name and her name stuck with me is that I interviewed her once on the phone, not in person, because her family is from the Milwaukee area. That's where I did the interview. You looked it up, Buzzy. What does it say about Kirsten Johnson?
Yes, she is from Fox Point, Wisconsin, which is a suburb. She was on Third Rock from the Sun. But I'm guessing most of our listeners know her role in the 1999 Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me. She was Ivana Humpalot.
Oh, that's a memorable role. I don't think she was nominated for an Academy Award or anything like that. But does that happen to you guys where you have a bit of information tucked away that you haven't used in years and then suddenly it just shows up? Have you had that happen to you guys?
Absolutely. You know, and I think what it is we have to understand that unless you have some sort of a brain disease, that everything, every experience that you ever had is still stored up there.
It's somewhere.
Just, you know, it's just, it's like on a computer. Sometimes you have to defrag your mind to put those pieces back together in order to get the string that you're looking for.
You know, it's interesting. Like if you're typing something out on a computer and you put the first two letters in, then 15 things that are associated with those two letters show up.
Looking for autofill.
Yeah, there it is. Boom, I got that one.
There
so
you go, yeah.
Kirsten Johnson, nobody's mentioned her name on BEN ever. I'm probably a first.
Yes. Also, Sandy, you might know her from this. In 2013, she made an appearance on two episodes of RuPaul's Drag Race. And I know how often you watch that show.
Well, I'm wearing a RuPaul original today. Just thought you'd like it. Let's go to from RuPaul to Roy.
Please,
Roy is in Boston. Roy, you're on with Ken Hamilton and Sandy Beach.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Oh, listen to that voice.
Roy.
Mine is the voice, ladies and gentlemen.
It's the man. Voice. What do you got for us today, Roy?
Just a few things about Gillibrand.
Okay.
She's nothing more than a recycled Hillary, although younger.
She's Hillary Light. She's followed in the same footsteps except for Bill Clinton.
Really? Yeah, Bill Clinton doesn't like Hillary.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think Hillary ever looked as good as.
I think that she is not distinguish herself as the senator from New York State. I think it's Tony says it best. She's George Pataki. George Pataki, where in the state you might have some hope that he would have some national recognition, but probably not. She's going to get creamed when all of the real names come in. But by that time, she will have built up a big war chest, which is to her advantage to use later in her career.
Well, if people would take the time to check her voting record, which I have done, you would wonder how long she's been a member of the Communist Party.
It says that her voting record is the most anti-Trump of anybody in the Senate. And I'm thinking, well, I can't believe that. What about our friend from Massachusetts? I can't believe she'd be voting more negative than she would, but she has. So she's the most liberal senator we have.
Well, you know, you have three possible female candidates for the election, Gillibrand, Warren, and Hillary. And that reminds me of the scene in Shakespeare's play about the coven of witches.
I'm not laughing, ladies.
Well, Hillary is rode hard and put away wet. I can't see them gathering the momentum and gathering any kind of excitement for Hillary. The only thing they can be sure of is that they could raise the money for her. But I think people are just tired of her. I think Elizabeth Warren is way left. If she ever won, it would say so much about where our country has gone. It'd be unbelievable. I don't think she has enough broad appeal to do that. Do you, Ken?
No, not at all. But on the subject of seeing where our country is, the juxtaposition of Barack Obama from Trump is where our country is. But I've long said that the preceding administration is the one that chooses its own successor by what they did in office and what they didn't do in office. And so if she is the anti-Trump and that the consensus were to shift, then she could win. But
what do you guys think of Michelle Obama? That came up the other day. Do you? I will start with Roy in Boston. I don't know if you've given this any thought. Would she be a viable candidate?
Well, she would be if she were a member of the human race.
Whoa.
That's a little harsh. So obviously you've had her school lunch. And you didn't like it.
Yeah, she is a member of the human race.
All right, thanks, Roy. Thank you very much. What do you think? Michelle Obama, yes or no?
I think Gillibrand stands a better chance.
Do you really?
I really do.
Well, first of all, in recognition, it wouldn't even be close. As far as knowing the name and having some feeling for who she is and what she stands for, I think that if you put them both on a stage tonight with no prep at all, I think that she would be more better known, absolutely.
Now you're talking about Michelle.
Michelle Obama and Gillibrand. I think she would surpass her.
I don't know, but you know, if people were saying, if you look at Trump and they say, well, he's never had any experience in government.
But he was extremely well known.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, neither one of them could compare with how well-known he was, because not only was he well-known over a lot of different stages and over a long period of time.
Absolutely. He was a celebrity from the time he was in his – by the time he hit 30, he was a,
yeah,
was a
exactly.
National phenomenon.
What do you guys think? Would Michelle – now, Tony, I know, is going to answer with his heart. Answer with your mind, Tony. Michelle Obama, would she have a chance – in a primary against, say, Gillibrand?
I think she would beat Gillibrand easily.
I do, too.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you don't Jill think LeBron, so?
Well, neither one of them has done anything. Neither one of them has a record to run on.
No, but one was the first lady, which is not an elected official. However, it seems to be that people put a lot of stock in that.
Well, far...
far more than deserved.
With, name recognition, without question.
Yeah, what do you think, Beamer? Mr. Joseph, this isn't Buzzy Beamer. This is Joseph D. Beamer. Yes.
I think she's obviously more recognizable in the other 50 states is Michelle Obama, and I think she comes across as more sincere and more natural. Now, again, you might not agree with anything she says, but I think Michelle Obama's delivery is more, it seems more sincere, more genuine and than anything I heard from Kirsten Gillibrand last night.
Absolutely. And here's the key. If you went in there and you voted for Michelle Obama, in your heart of hearts, in your mind of minds, you think you're also getting Barack Obama.
Well, you know, that didn't work for Hillary.
No, but it's Hillary. That's the whole point. I mean, as far as likability, I didn't particularly like Michelle Obama, but I certainly didn't like Hillary. Hillary does not have a pleasant persona. Michelle Obama, you see her dancing and fist bumping and seems like she's having fun from time to time. Hillary is, whoa, man. Yes.
And to your point of people think they're gaining Barack Obama, Hillary and Bill, you never get the idea, obviously, that they're a happy couple a legitimate marriage.
I would get the opposite. I think that if you voted for Michelle, you'd feel you're getting Barack. But I don't think if you vote for Hillary, you think you're getting Bill, because I think Bill wouldn't give her any information.
Yeah, but you look at the Clintons, they did run on that. You know, if you get one, you get the other.
Well, they ran on
that. She was the co-president.
Yeah.
He didn't say anything like that.
And we didn't know her and him as well then. That was the beginning. That's the learning process. We should have listened to the guy from the newspaper in Las Vegas who sent a notification. We call him Slick Willie for a reason.
Well, remember? I knew about him because I had friends. My old college roommate was from Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, I knew Bill Clinton.
Did he wear shoes? No. You thought Roy Clark was dead, huh? All right, we'll be back with more of Beach & Company, scintillating conversation.
One pill, Sandy, just.
I'm in a good mood. Can a guy be in a good mood? I'm in a good mood, as good as it gets. We'll be back after this.
62 counties.
Just want to make this clear. You're saying you will not get out of the race and you will not run for president. You will serve your 6 years.
I will serve my 6 year term.
Okay.
I heard Ken say, is that Frank Thomas over there?
Yeah, it's... That commercial is disgusting.
Who's Frank Thomas?
Frank Thomas is a baseball player, right?
Former baseball player with the Chicago White Sox.
A big, a guy that's really put together. He's a big arms, big chest.
Oh, he's the one that does the commercials on television.
Yeah, bingo.
But
I didn't know his name. I didn't even know who he was.
But couples, men and women, couples, walk out. The women drag their husbands to see Frank Thomas, and they're touching his arms, and oh, you look like you could still play.
Well, he says the big hurt, and she goes more like the big hunk.
Yeah, right, with her husband on her other arm. Her husband doesn't look anything like Frank Thomas, and never will. If he uses that for the rest of his life, it's not going to happen for him. But Frank is just staring like he's looking down on his minions, going, well, yes, I do work out, and I use product placement right here. Do people do that to you, Ken?
Yeah, they place their products right in front of me.
And Noxitril commercial. You know, one thing, because I've had some health problems this past year, I've had more than my share of having to go to the drugstore and pick up a script, okay, that's written. They always ask, are there any questions? Always. No matter if it's something you've been taking all your life for diabetes, they ask you, are there any questions? And I'm wondering when they ask the people who want Noxitril, what kind of questions they would come up with. Would that kind of be fun?
Hey, let me jump in for a second. You had asked me, was there anything going on in Niagara Falls?
Yeah.
I just remembered
something. We always talk about the things you do.
Yeah, we've lost a firefighter, Captain Kiefer Stallman, in an accident on behind the Factory Outlet Mall up in Niagara Falls where he was riding his motorcycle a couple weeks ago. And a young lady turns out in front of him.
Happens a lot.
And he dies. And he was a great guy. I knew him since he was a kid. You know, when he was in his, I think he had to be about 20 years old when I met him. And before he became a firefighter. And he was just such a wonderful, wonderful person. And he remained that way all of his life. Now, He died 11 months, 10 and a half months before his wife could get his pension and the medical benefits that would have come with that. And so the good people, what they're doing is that they're going to have a dinner for him, a memorial dinner for him at the Power City Eatery on 3rd Street today at 5 o'clock. And that if you really want to support the family of a great guy, as a matter of fact, I think it was 2 weeks ago, my column in the Niagara Gazette was about him and, you know, what a wonderful guy he was and how we need to be preventing those types of things from happening by good traffic engineering, which we have failed to do, particularly in that area around the Factory Outlet Mall or the Factory Fashion Malls or whatever they're calling it nowadays. But if you would, you know, you could support the family. If you go down to the Power City Eatery, it's on 3rd Street in Niagara Falls. That's between Niagara Street and Main Street. And, you know, just help to support the family. This guy had to have 1,000 people or more coming at his showing, at his viewing.
I saw that. I saw a piece on that on television. Has there been any local attempt to get that pension, even though it was 11, you said 10 and a half to 11 months early? Anything to get waived?
Well, I'm sure that every politician in the city and probably even some of those at the state level have been looking into to see what they could do for the family. But this is the first thing that the common person can do, the common citizen. If you knew Keith, then you would be there, or you'd try to be there. And that's one of the big problems that we have. We look for government to do everything for us that we should be doing for ourselves. Here's, you know, something that President Kennedy would say, ask not what, you know, the government can do for you, but what you could do for, you know, the government being America, but what you could do for each other is really the essence of what he was saying. And that this is something that we could do to show the family that we really care. His dog was at the funeral. But nobody knew because he was sitting underneath the table where the pictures were.
Oh, really?
And he was a big, his dog was just as sweet, kind, and personable as was the firefighter himself. Just a wonderful, wonderful guy.
It seemed like it happened, as I recall, on a nice, decent day to get a quick ride on the motorcycle. And that's one of the dangers of motorcycle riding. It's not when you're doing 55 or 60 on a highway. It's usually on local roads, and somebody does not see you. That's the problem. They don't see you. If you're a motorcycle rider, you know this. If you're about to be a motorcycle rider, it's a good idea to put something on your bike. It's usually an American flag, but it could be a POW flag. It could be various things that moves so that there is some motion, because people just kind of automatically click in. There's a motorcycle. You don't think about, what am I doing? I'm turning right in front of them. And that sort of thing happens all the time.
And it was a young 19-year-old woman. It was Christmas Eve. And a 19-year-old woman trying to get home from the mall, apparently trying to get home from the mall. And from everything that I've heard, the family has no animosity towards her.
Well, sometimes they're unfortunate accidents, but they are accidents. All right, that about wraps it up for Beach & Company. I think we've settled whether Kirsten Gillibrand is attractive or not. I think we've won over the other side. It started 2-2. Now it's, I think, 3-1. Tony, the only holdout. So please, Tony, please, the question I want you to think about before tomorrow's show, what's going to end first? The walkout of federal employees or Tony giving in that Kirsten Gillibrand is attractive? All right? That is the question overnight.
She's hot.
Don't say that. That's so disrespectful. 72881 is the...
You're so full of crap.
The number that you send the word turn, as in turn, turn, turn. T-U-R-N. Send it to 72881. And you, yes, you, could win $1,000 in cash. See you tomorrow at 9.
Elvis has left the building.
Oh, I wish we never had to leave the beach.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.